Allah be upon his most beloved Nabi, our leader Hazrat Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank and praise Allah for the numerous bounties and blessings he has bestowed upon us, and we ask Allah Ta'ala to continuously shower his blessings upon us, not to take them away from us because of our own ungratefulness and heedlessness, because of our own disobedience. Whether we know the blessing or we don't know, whether we're enjoying it or we don't know we're enjoying it, we ask Allah Ta'ala to keep all those blessings with us. Respected friends and brothers, the ayat of the Quran which I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in effect brought to our attention certain very important qualities that we as believers in this day and age are supposed to inculcate. Alhamdulillah, it is Allah's great honor and favor upon us that we have been honored with Deenul Islam. We all are proud about it. We sometimes take this ni'mat, this blessing for granted. We don't realize that it is something specifically given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is something very important to keep in mind. It is not just random, you know, that we were born into a Muslim home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose us to be bearers of the kalima la ilaha illallah. Then, so Allah says in the Quran, بَلِلَّهُ يَمُنُّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored you. He has bestowed a gift upon you that he has granted you iman. He has given you the gift of iman. He guided you towards iman. So it's not something that, you know, we are entitled to, or we deserve it or something like that. No, Allah Ta'ala gave it to us from his side. That's the first thing. Then also being as mu'mineen, we are in the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which also makes us a very, very special creation of Allah Ta'ala, in this that we could have been in another ummah. We have iman and we are in the ummah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But having said that, we are also supposed to keep in mind that we need to hold on to this gift very, very fast and very firmly, because the verse that we have recited, there is a prophecy in it where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing the believers, especially that are going to come later, that this particular gift, you can walk away from it. And that is a very, very scary thing. A person says, how can I walk away from the deen? Allah Ta'ala says, there will be those people who will walk away from the deen. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, man yartadda minkum an deenihi. O believers, those of you who turn apostate, who turn renegade, who throw the deen away from amongst you. So already here, Allah is not saying, if you do that. Allah says, when you walk away, those of you who walk away from this particular deen of Islam, then there are certain consequences that are going to follow. So this is actually a prophecy. And this already started in the time of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In his time already there were people. Musaylimah, the great liar, he claimed prophethood and he had a following. And in the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this particular following grew. And also there were those who refused to pay zakat, and there were those who were trying to justify and legalize certain haram actions. There were those who were deliberately trying to tamper with the great ibadat of salah and so forth. So these are the people that turned away already. So this prophecy was actually realized at that time. And then throughout the annals of history, there were people who turned away from the deen. And respected friends and brothers, the question we have to ask ourselves is, that in our time and age, are there people walking away from the deen? And what if this prophecy, Allah forbid, comes right at our doorstep? How strong are we? You know, we get different levels of apostasy. Apostasy means to throw away the deen or to reject the religion. We get intellectual apostasy, where outwardly a person, mashallah, he's got Muslim name, Muslim everything else, but in his mind, the Islamic things make no sense to him. He totally rejects it, only he does not say it. He believes so differently that how could this order be given by Allah, and I don't think that command makes sense, and whatever the case may be, he's got his own philosophies. Intellectually, he is totally on a different wavelength when it comes to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we get those people who are verbal apostates. Straight out they say, I've got nothing more to do with this deen. I am going, it's like this. And I tell you straight, I am an atheist. Na'udhu billah, Allah ta'ala save us. And then there are those who with their actions, they follow openly, voluntarily, they opt for actions that are totally against what Islam teaches, and they think nothing about it. And they feel, no, you have to be with the grain, and you have to be there, and you have to understand the environment, so it's nothing wrong if you adopt a certain action, whatever it might be. So we're talking of the different levels of apostasy, whichever level it might be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us about it. Therefore, the question we need to ask ourselves, alhamdulillah, I am a believer. Am I firm, strong on my Islam? Am I steadfast on it? Am I proud to be a Muslim? Am I confident? Whether the things about Islam make sense to me or not, whether the things about Islam, sometimes they do cause discomfort to us, you know, it sometimes goes against our own desires, you know, we don't like to do certain things. But all said and done, am I so strong that I will remain steadfast no matter what and no matter who? If an attack is launched against any Islam or Islamic teaching, I am strong enough to stand up and to silence the person or to answer on behalf of Islam. I possess the Islamic sense of honor, as we can call it. I have in me to defend Islam, because if somebody has to criticize me or my possession or my family or my mother or my wife, I will not take it. I'll say, hey, you know what you're talking about here. You don't take my mother's name, or you don't do this, or you don't take that name. And if somebody takes my Islam's name, then I say, I'd rather just keep quiet. I don't want to get killed here. Or whatever other stance. Or a person gives an apologetic explanation sometimes. Am I that kind of a Muslim? Or am I loyal? I'm prepared to stand my ground, and I will not let anyone trample over the deen. And there's no need to take out a sword and a gun and start shooting the people and taking their heads off. No. All that is needed is to put forward the Islamic point of view confidently, without any hesitation and without any inferiority complex. That, yes, brother, this is what Islam is. There's a very famous incident mentioned in the books of Hadith. Sayyidina Salman radiallahu anhu became a Muslim. And we know he became a Muslim when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina. Sayyidina Salman al-Farsi, he basically, you know, he drank from every fountain, you want to say, from every well. He was a fire worshiper, and then he joined the Christians, and then he joined the Jews, and wherever, all his life he was looking for the truth until he finally ended up in Medina Munawwara. And when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Medina, at that time Salman radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam. So he was a new Muslim. And in those days, Islam was still not very strong also. There was always an effort being made to launch, you know, attacks against Islam and criticize it, to criticize Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to take a swipe so that people can become demoralized, so that people can, you know, leave the deen and they can suffer a complex about it. So there were always swipes and taunts being made. So one of the non-Muslims once, they said to Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, your man, referring to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he teaches you how to go to the toilet. Like, what kind of religion is this? What kind of a prophet? He came to teach you how to go to the toilet. Such a great prophet. What the religion you got? We have to learn how to go to the toilet. Now, that was not done in any other way, but except to bring the man and make him feel, you know, low. But when we speak of Islamic sense of honor, and when we look at the man defending and being proud about his Islam, we look at the answer he gave. He said, yes, our prophet taught us that we must relieve ourselves without facing the Qibla or facing our back to the Qibla. And he told us that we must use so many cloths for cleaning ourselves out. And he told us we should not use bone and dung and so forth. He gave the whole rundown of how we are taught by our prophet to fulfill this aspect of relieving and cleansing ourselves. So he basically launched a triple attack on the opposite party. He didn't feel bad or anything about it. No. He says, but you didn't answer the full question. Ask the full question. But I'll give you three answers to your one question and to your one swipe at me. And he answered it in that way. That was Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu's answer. And these examples are found repeatedly. So when we are in this era, my respected friends and brothers, we have to have this fear at all times that, you know what, there will be attacks coming in different ways upon Islam. Sometimes people will make us feel, you know, so low about it. We don't have to feel low. Whatever they speak about our religion, whether we are okay with it or not, sometimes, like I said, we have difficulty because of our own weaknesses. But when it says Islam, I will stand for my religion. And yes, my deen says this. And you know what? Let me explain to you what Islam is about. And without any hesitation, no need to lose your cool, no need to become abusive, no need to start swearing. What about your religion? You people worship like this, that, and the other. No, no. Just stand up for your religion. But that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, will only come when a person has got four qualities. And this is the ayah that Allah ta'ala says, if any one of you walks away from the deen, then Allah ta'ala will bring another religion, another group of people, which means that Islam is here to stay. There is no way Islam is going to be annihilated. Now and then we hear, you know, say Islam is getting knocked and it gets knocked here, there, wherever. But Islam will never, ever be wiped out. That's the promise of Allah. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. This deen is going to overpower all other religions. And you can see it and I can see it, that the more efforts are made to try and cast aspersions or to try and wipe the deen away, the more the deen gets stronger, alhamdulillah. So in the same way, if anyone tries anything and the people cannot withstand their ground, and if they drop their guard, or they are too weak, or they are too coward, or they are not equipped enough, or they're suffering from an inferiority complex, then Allah Ta'ala says, you do not deserve this honor of Islam. Like we said, it's an honor for us to be Muslims and holding the fault of Islam. So Allah says, if you walk away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace you with another nation. And what are the qualities of the other nation? The qualities of the other nation is the same qualities which you are supposed to have had in the first place, which you did not possess. Therefore you walked away. What? Allah says, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمِ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. They love Allah and Allah loves them. A nation that